This is Matt from MattsBats.com, and you're listening to the Matt's GM Show.
And we are live at Sabre Seminar again, and I'm very proud and honored to welcome back to the show Dave Cameron. Dave, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Thank you so much. It's the second year in a row I've been able to steal a couple minutes from you at Sabre Seminar, so I appreciate it. First place I got to start is with your article this week on the Nationals.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're the Nats GM show. It's heavily focused on the Nationals. First, maybe I just let you introduce the piece that you wrote and,
sure.
and start from there.
Yeah, so basically I just kind of went through and tried to figure out what went wrong. I mean, I think a lot of us expected, or everyone expected them to be better than this, and just kind of looked at, like, what has transpired to cause them to basically be a 500 team to this point. I think if you look at it, besides maybe Max Scherzer and Bryce Harper is having a pretty good year, and, you know, a couple other guys, you know, Escobar's been a nice surprise, but most of the young core of the team over the last couple of years, you look at guys like Ian Desmond and Wilson Ramos, Ryan Zimmerman, Jason Wirth, you know, kind of go through the whole list. You have like 8 or 9 of these core players who've been basically replacement level as an aggregate. And last year they were worth almost 30 WAR. And so when you take a group that's like 30 wins above replacement and you wipe them all out, and this is probably $75 million in combined payroll, it's really difficult to win. Bryce Harper, I think, has basically carried them, and the fact that they're still in the pennant race with almost everyone else performing way below expectations is pretty amazing. But certainly the core of the team and the guys that they really expected to be above average to all-star caliber players just haven't performed.
So do you put any of the blame on, you know, Matt Williams gets a lot of the grief in D.C., and I don't necessarily want to go too far down that road, but do you think there's a part of that that's the problem, or is this just a collective bad year? And
so I don't think as an outsider we can really evaluate a manager's impact on player performance that well, so I would stop short of saying, you know, all these guys are playing bad because Matt Williams is a bad manager. I will say, if all of these things are going wrong, it's unlikely that he's a very good one. Like, this makes it at least less likely that he's helping, right? So we don't know the effect that he's having negatively, and we can't say for sure that he's cost them 3 wins or 5 wins or 7 wins, but this kind of team-wide collapse, when there have been plenty of stories about conflict with players and Williams not necessarily being everyone's favorite manager, there's enough circumstantial evidence at this point that it's probably safe to suspect that he's a net negative. We don't know how much, but I don't think he's an asset at this point.
And we've got, what, 40 games left on the schedule, 38, whatever it is. Do you think they catch the Mets back three and a half games? Or
I think they do, actually. I know, like, well, a lot of people have given up, but I think this is the kind of team that could get really hot in September. Their schedule the rest of the way is super weak. I mean, they're basically playing the dregs of the NL East, so they have a chance to really to make up a lot of ground. The Mets are basically playing the same schedule, but unfortunately for the Mets, a lot of their strength is young pitchers who are going to skip starts, and they're already talking about skipping Noah Syndergaard, skipping Matt Harvey. You know, there's a chance that Jacob deGrom might not be able to do this for 240 innings. At some point, they might have to back off him a little bit. I think when your strength is young arms who haven't pitched deep into September before, you're a little bit vulnerable, so I still expect the Nationals to win the division.
Okay. I want to shift, if I can, now to Boston. Been a big week here. Obviously, we're at Sabre Seminar, so they've been the topic of discussion. You wrote a couple of columns this week a little bit discussing the change. What do you see the philosophical changes with Boston going from Ben Sherrington to now Dave Dombrowski era?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I mean, Dombrowski in Detroit and Montreal and in Miami has definitely been a different kind of GM at each stop. So I don't think we can say for sure that Dombrowski in Boston is going to be the Dombrowski he was in Detroit. I think that we have to acknowledge that, you know, he was working for an owner who wanted to win a championship before he died. That's an extraneous situation that's not going to exist in Boston. But at the same time, I do think we can see that he has very different philosophies than what Ben Sherrington and Theo Epstein and some of the predecessors have espoused, especially when it comes to star power. I think one thing we can say with some certainty about Dave Dombrowski is he is a star-driven general manager. He believes in high-end talent and puts a very high value on Justin Verlanders and Miguel Cabreras and those kinds of guys. He even came out in his introductory press conference and says, if you want to win a championship, you need a number one starter. Where last year, Ben Sherrington basically said, screw number one starters, I'm just going to have 5 above-average guys and we'll be fine. So I think, no question, Dombrowski's a stars and scrubs GM all the way. He's going to emphasize depth a lot less than the Red Sox have previously. He's probably going to trade from their surplus of prospects and say, you know what, I'm going to put my best 25 guys on the field, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that was always his undoing in Detroit, is he never really had a plan B if something went wrong. I would expect the Red Sox will probably make a lot of consolidation trades where they're trading 3 for 1 or 4 for 2 or 5 for 2 or something along those lines, where they give up a lot of their depth, but they have much more high-impact talent next year.
And I'd like to ask you about Jackie Bradley, because he's been he was so bad for a while, right. And now he's been so hot.
Right.
Who is the real Jackie Bradley?
I mean, it's always going to be in between the two, right? But I do think, like, Juan Lagares is probably a good example of what he could be. I mean, this is a premium defensive center fielder, so you don't necessarily need to hit a lot in order to be, you know, a good major league player. And I think Lagares is probably a reasonable expectation, where it's, I mean, a 130 to 150 ISO, which is a lot less than he's been lately, but, you know, above what he was previously. With some strikeouts, Bradley, you know, he's made decent contact in the minors, but in the major leagues, he's really struggled to make contact. I think you're probably looking at 20-25% strikeout rate, which means he's going to have to hit for enough power, that 150 ISO range, in order to be a solid, you know, 90 WRC plus hitter, and then you add plus defense in center field, that makes him a pretty good player.
Okay, now, final place I need to go and want to talk to you about is Seattle. Obviously, yeah. Everybody knows you kind of started with USS yeah. Mariner and everything like that. Expectations were off the charts for the Mariners this year. They're yeah. 11 games under 500 as we sit. Yeah. Kind of just what do you see from what happened in this year, and what do you see kind of the state of the Mariners now?
Yeah, I mean, I think their situation, not too different from Oakland, in that they got basically destroyed by their bullpen. Last year, this was the best bullpen in baseball by ERA. Fernando Rodney had an amazing year at age 37. They got really good years from, like, unknown setup guys like Yorvis Medina. And they just had, like, a, you know, Charlie Furbush was excellent last year. They had a ton of unheralded relievers, had great seasons, and all of those guys went to crap this year. And they just DFA'd Fernando Rodney last night. Like, this is now one of the worst bullpens in baseball. They had some other things wrong. Robinson Cano hasn't been very good, which doesn't help when you're 25 million a year second baseman struggles, but this was a bullpen failure by and large. I do think it's going to cost Jack Sorensen his job, and most likely there'll be a new baseball operations president probably in the next couple months.
Okay, and final question for you, a question I get all the time, and I'm probably not the right person to answer it, is how do I get a job writing in baseball? How do I become, well, not Ryan Sullivan, how do I become Dave Cameron? So, how do I become Dave Cameron?
I think the key is just to write. If you just sit down and write every day, and or almost every day, and, you know, try and find a niche, try and find something that isn't, you know, just general baseball, I have to write about the main story of the day, because there's so many people doing that. You know, I think Wendy Thurm, who spoke earlier today, is a really good example of this. She was someone who wanted to get into baseball writing. She joined Fangraphs. She didn't necessarily have a clear direction of what she wanted to do. She wrote some general posts for us. It was clear she had writing talent. She was a smart woman. We wanted her to find her own direction. And after about a year at Fangraphs, I kind of was like, hey, why don't you do some business stuff? And she really kind of went that direction, took off, and is now, like, probably the number one business baseball person on Twitter and on the web, and has really kind of owned this area. And this wasn't something that she necessarily set out to do, but it was something that she had the skill set to do and found out that she was good at it. There was a need. So I would say find something along those lines. Find something that has been undercovered that you enjoy covering and do it really well, and eventually someone will notice you.
Okay. Just spot for your plugs, where they can find you on Twitter, your work, Fangraphs, whatever you want to plug.
Yeah, Fangraphs.com is where I write every day. You can find me on Twitter if you're nice at DCameronFG. if you're not nice, you can find me at NatsGM. Other than that, I think, you know, just enjoy baseball. That's my plug.
Thank you very much, Dave. Can't thank you enough, and continue great success.
All right, thanks.
Thanks so much.